You'll stand with me if you're able. Take your Bibles
and turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 17 through 20. Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come to part three of this message, as we deal with this thought of speak, I pray, Father, that we would each one of us be willing to go out and speak the gospel message, the truths of your word to others. And Father, we just ask that you would speak to each one of us this morning personally. I pray, Father, that you would give me boldness to proclaim your word, that you would put the very words in my mouth that I need to speak this morning. I pray, Father, that you would be lifted up and glorified. I pray that you would get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise that's due your name. And I pray, Father, that we here today would not just be hearers of the word, but we'd be doers of the word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the first week we looked at go, which was the consistency of our witness. Go to work, witnessing. Go to the doctor's office and witness. Go to the gas station and witness. Go golfing and you can witness. Or wherever you go, you can witness of Jesus Christ. Stand was week two, and we saw the courage of our witness, overcoming fear. We have that time when we feel our heart pounding in our chest, right? And we're thinking, I know the Lord wants me to share, but my heart won't keep thumping so loud that's all I can hear, right? And then how to be bold and courageous and have courage born of compulsion, consecration, and compassion. Today we're going to speak on this word speak, which is the communication of our witness. We need to go out and share the gospel with others. Have you ever heard of lifestyle evangelism? Lifestyle evangelism, it's a good thing. It is a good thing. Our life must be an example of what we believe. We believe the Word of God, our life should portray that. Others should see what we have inside. It should come out. In fact, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Right? So what's in is going to come out. If you truly love the Lord and His Word is in your heart, it's going to come out. It's going to be shared with people. If we don't love the Lord, if we don't hide His Word in our heart, then it's not going to come out. Because there's nothing there to come out, right? The things that are there that will come out won't be pleasing to the Lord. So we need to make sure we're hiding His Word in our heart. Our life needs to be so that others will see Jesus in us. As He says that He comes and He abides with us. When people see that our life reflects the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, they're going to want to hear what we have to say. They don't want to hear what we have to say when our life doesn't line up with the Word of God. And I've got news for you. Even people who are lost, that haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, still know how our life is supposed to be lived. It's amazing. I've said this a lot, and I'm going to keep saying it while I have breath, but it's amazing to me how people who don't know Christ as Lord and Savior know more about how we are supposed to live than we seem to. It's amazing. Because we, according to the Word of God, to whom much is given, much is required, we have the Word of God, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Him as Savior, and so much more is required of us, and we should know more about how we're supposed to live than they do. The problem is, it seems the other way around, which to me is backwards. The problem today is most people in Christianity have nothing to say when it comes to the Word of God. We have a lot to say, just nothing to say when it comes to the Word of God, right? Just living a godly life before the lost is not enough. Sooner or later, we're going to have to say something. You're going to have to speak. We're going to have to communicate the gospel. We're going to have to let us share the gospel, the actual gospel, with other people. It's amazing. Seems like when people first get saved, they can't wait to tell everybody they know. And then after they've been saved for a while, they can't wait to keep their mouth shut, right? What happened? I say we need to pray that God gives us the joy of our salvation back again. Because when we get that, then we would want to go out and share with others. We'd want to tell them what's inside. We'll want to tell them what happened to us. In Psalms 81:10, it says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I have to tell you, you don't know what to say? Ask God. What did I pray before I started? God, give me the very words that I need to preach this morning. The very words, because I want the message to be from God and not from me. That's the way it should be. Let me tell you, God will give you what you need when you need it. You go, well, how do you know that? I have living proof of the fact that God gives me what I need when I need it. If you're walking with the Lord, if you're daily in His Word and all, it's amazing. It's amazing how God will give you what you need when you need it. And God knows what the people need when they need it, and so He gives the message to the preacher that the people need. It's kind of interesting how that all works together, isn't it? But God puts it together. In Ezekiel 3:27 it says, But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, He that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. God will put in your mouth what you need when you need it. If you're walking with Him, if you're daily in His Word, it's amazing. You could go and just... I can tell you from firsthand experience, all you have to do is quietly pray in your mind, Lord, help me out here. I need the answer to this question they just asked, and I can't remember it. And let me tell you, the older you get, the more times you're going to be going to Him, saying, Lord, bring that to memory. He can recall that which is already there. But you ask Him to recall something that was never there, how's that going to happen? Now, I'm not saying God can't do it. He can do the impossible things. But it's a whole lot easier for it to be recalled if it was there to begin with. It's important to be in the Word of God so you can know that. You'll turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Please. Verses 18 and 19 of Ephesians chapter 6. It says, Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Just pray, God, give me the words I need to preach. Give me the words I need to share with someone. Every morning we should wake up and we should say, God, put somebody in my path that You want me to share the gospel with. Amazing, He'll do it. So if you don't want it to happen, don't pray that. But if you do want it to happen, pray that. And then open your mouth and speak the words of the gospel. Share what God's done in your life. Some people say, well, it happened so long ago. You don't have to go back to salvation. Did God not do something for you today already? See, He woke me up this morning, which was a good thing. He gave me breath this morning, that's a good thing. He gave me food to eat this morning, that was a good thing. That's a really good thing, or I wouldn't be standing up here now. I'd probably be laying over somewhere. He's given us what we need today. We could share that. He gave us a church to come to. He gave us somebody with enough breath to preach at this moment, right? He gave us somebody to play the piano, somebody to lead the songs, somebody to take up the offering, somebody to record the message so it can be put on the website. He's brought us together for a purpose. He's given us all of this. He's given us His Word. He's given us life. Turn to Acts chapter 2, just right over if you've stayed in Acts 5. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. Acts 2:14 says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." Peter lived a good life in front of them, and 3,000 people got saved. 3,000. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I'd get excited if even one got saved. But 3,000? Can you imagine the excitement that must have been going on? The hallelujah praises to God that were going on? Amazing how many got saved. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." This time about 5,000 men got saved, and you'll see that if you follow down to verse about 4. And in Acts 5:20, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." All the words of this life. So we have to speak. I don't know about you guys, how do you stay silent about something that's so spectacular that's happened in your life? How do you stay silent about something that is so miraculous that God gives you breath every day? How do you keep quiet when it's... So we just walked around the building yesterday and while we were here, and it was amazing. You just start seeing all the stuff come up and the peonies. I got it right this time. I'm not good on plants, but I know that I like the beautiful flowers when they bloom. They're going to open soon. They're not much longer. They're going to be opening. We got some irises coming up on the side over here. Those are looking beautiful. Things are starting to come back. It's a miracle that God's brought those things back to life again after they died off during the winter, right? People say, well, they didn't die. No, they went dormant. But they've come back, and they're beautiful. And it's going to be nice when the roses bloom and everything starts happening. And just God gave that to us. Those of you who plant a garden, isn't it just wonderful when you put that seed in the ground and then all of a sudden it starts coming up? And then you wonder why there's 40 times more weeds than there is stuff you planted. But isn't it amazing? And then God, you take one seed and put it in the ground and God brings you multiple stuff from it, right? It's amazing. God does this stuff for us. We need to tell people about what God's doing. So we have five principles for talking to people about Jesus. The first one is take the initiative. Take the initiative. You know, there's a cop-out though, right? The cop-out is usually, oh Lord, I feel like I should witness to Bubba at work, right? But if it's really your will, if it's really your will, Lord, I pray that you would have him bring it up. Right? Isn't it always better if somebody else brings up the conversation about Jesus or about the things of God? If they bring it up, then you, I can talk to them about this. This is safe ground, right? But God didn't say that it's their job to bring it up. He said, we need to go and tell. We need to go stand and speak. We need to do that. It's our responsibility. People are watching. People are watching to see what you're going to do with the gospel message. People are watching. They want to know. Some of them are wondering if you'll ever share with them. I remember one guy down in Texas, I was talking to him, and he says, this guy came to my place, and I just love this guy. He's a chicken farmer. And he says, people are delivering stuff to his house all the time. And he says, as a child of God, this property that is mine, that God gave me, is holy ground. You come on this ground and you're going to hear the gospel message. And he says, so this UPS driver, driving from house to house to house, and the neighbor told him, you don't want to go over there. He's going to share the gospel with you. And he goes, nah, they won't share the gospel with me. He says, I know lots of people who profess to know Christ and they don't share the gospel with me. And he says, I'm going to tell you, that guy is going to share the gospel with you. He drives over there and he says, wasn't long, and he turned the conversation to the gospel. And he says, of course he did. You were on holy ground. Because he believed that anybody who came on his property that belonged to God was going to get God's word. And so he went back to the neighbor next door, and they talked later, of course, because they're neighbors. But he went to the neighbor next door, and he says, man, it wasn't long, and he had me all over the place with the gospel message. And he says, that guy lives it. See, there's some people that just want to know, are you going to share? And they'll keep their mouth quiet, waiting to see if you are going to be who you say you are. Are you going to share the gospel? We need to be willing to share the gospel. Many are standing on the fence in no man's land. There's people that know enough about you. They know that you're going to church. They know that you claim to be a Christian, but they don't know if it's real or not because you haven't said anything. Is it real? Is it real? So they wait to see, are we going to say anything? Is this Christianity thing real in your life? Or are you just playing? You're just playing. It's good that we can claim to be a Christian, but it's better if we share with people. Share what we know. You know, it's my responsibility as pastor of this church to equip the saints to go out and share. That's my responsibility. The responsibility of the people that are known born-again believers are to go out and share. It's amazing. You know, you can share in so many different ways, and we're going to get to some of that in a little bit here. The only thing worse than being a secret Christian is not taking a stand. It'd be better to hide that you are a believer than make it known and show people totally opposite of what you're supposed to be doing. We have that problem in the world today. They had the problem back then too, but we have the problem in the world today where people profess to know Christ and then they live like the devil. And it turns people off. It's amazing. And one of my favorite lines is Christians give Christians a bad name. And it's true. It's sad, but it's true. And the reason is that too many people are out there living like the devil, telling everybody how holier than thou they are, and it's turning off the masses. They don't want to hear how holier than thou you are when you're living like the devil. By the way, how good does it do to win somebody to the Lord when you're telling them how great you are? We're supposed to be telling them how great God is. He's the one that's supposed to get all the glory, honor, and praise. So we have the world looking for the real thing. So we need to be going all or nothing. We need to be in this. No straddling on the fence. No wishy-washiness. Let's do this thing full bore. Let's show them that we're in this. Let's show them how awesome it is to know God. How wonderful it is to be a child of God. They're looking for the real thing. If you're not willing to go all the way and share the truth and the blessing and the privilege of salvation with them, then do God and the church a favor and just remain a secret Christian. Now, you get to answer to God for that, by the way. I don't recommend it. But if you're going to be one of those that are living like the devil, let's not be sharing what a great Christian you are. You're damaging our Savior's testimony, and you're damaging the church, which He gave His life for. We don't need the world getting the wrong idea of what Christianity is all about. They already have some mixed up ideas. Do the neighbors see your car missing Sunday morning? Because they know you're at church. Do they see it missing Sunday evening? Because they know you're at church. How about the midweek service? Do they see it missing? Do they know that these people are sold out for God because they're going to be in church when the doors are open? Must really throw them off when we have revival and we're gone Sunday through Thursday, right? Man, those people have been gone all week. They must be out of town, right? No, people should know. And they would know if you invite them to revival service, by the way. Get the neighbors to come. It would be great if revival broke out, but wouldn't it be wonderful if some lost people came and got saved during revival? How about every other service of the year? We could invite them. Have them come. The world is looking for the real thing. There's some already in your life that know. They're just waiting and waiting and waiting to see if you're going to follow through, finish the process, risk the rejection, and give success a chance. Take the initiative. Take the initiative. Simple question to get the subject started is, do you go to church? Do you go to church? What you can say is, here's where I go, and hand them a tract. What I like about our tract is it says, this is a friendly invitation to attend. Not offensive, right? We're just friendly invitation to attend. This is where I go. How hard is that? Well, they won't take it. You don't know that. We have no idea. If they don't, that's fine. But if they do, you just got the gospel message in their hands because it's all laid out inside. And the wonderful thing is when they say, well, I don't know when your services are. Oh, we have those mapped out on the back here. We even have a little map that shows you how to get there. We want to make sure you get here, right? We want to make sure you have the opportunity to come to know Christ as Savior. Not a bad deal, right? How hard is that? Pretty simple. Where do you go to church? Or do you go to church? What do you believe about salvation? What did I just tell you? Inside of the tract. Tells them what we believe. And God will lead you from there. It's amazing. How about, are you a good person? I always like it when they say yes. Because then I can say, well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. See, these questions will just lead to other stuff that comes from the Word of God. Number two, build a bridge. Build a bridge. We can all attempt number one, right? With anyone. You just say, do you go to church? You can use that on anybody. Even if you're just in passing, you can use that. But we have the best success when we build a bridge of some kind. We need something to help connect us with them. Something that will help us befriend them, and they can befriend us. But we need to let our light shine. Let our light shine. If we're going to win their trust, we have to have our light shining for Jesus. We have some bridges if we're willing to cross them. We need to not get the attitude of looking down on the lost. At one point, we were all lost and undone and in need of a Savior. We all were. But Jesus, the Bible says, is a friend of sinners. Some have this attitude, I hate my work environment, all sinners talking about their worldly habits and lifestyle. I just want to stay away from them. Well, what did God leave us here for? He planted us where He planted us for a reason, right? Everybody here, I don't know anybody who works at the same place here, right? Everybody's at different places. God put you there for a reason. Well, no, I got that job. No, God gave you that job for a reason. He planted you where you are for a reason. If you're retired and fortunate enough to be retired, God planted you where you live for a reason. There's people around you, right? Anybody talk with their postal delivery person? They used to call them postmen, but now we have a lady that does ours. So ever talk to them? They might need the Lord too. How about the UPS driver like I mentioned earlier? Or the FedEx driver? Is there not people that come into your life? Anybody here get gas? Anybody ever on the other side of the pump? Another opportunity. Do you go in and pay or at the pump? At the pump, it's easier. You don't end up buying anything you don't need in the store, right? I think that was one of their biggest mistakes, paying at the pump. They used to have to come into the store and they would shop and they would buy something. Now they pay at the pump and they never come in the store. It's amazing. I think they missed an opportunity there. But we need to build bridges. Some people will say, but they're such heathens. Good. Don't be like them. Befriend them. But their language. I know. And some people have a whole new vocabulary, I got to tell you. It's amazing, some of the stuff that comes out of people's mouths. I like it when kids are talking that way and I say, does your mother know you talk that way? Where do you think I learned it? Okay, then your mother needs the bar of soap, and then you need it. Because once you get the bar of soap and you get to chew on that for a little bit, you find out that you don't want to say those words anymore. Because it doesn't taste good. But see, that would be child abuse today, I suppose. It worked in the past. I like the, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You can talk to them. You don't need to talk like them. But we need to share. How do you think they're going to get that language out of their mouth if you don't share the gospel and they come to know Christ? There's some, I tell you, they used to talk like a drunken sailor. They got saved and now they don't say any of that stuff anymore. It's amazing. Amazing. Because God can do that. Just think of it this way. The darker the place, the brighter your light can shine. I'll tell you what. Just need to cross some bridges. and let God do the work. Not talking about going to their parties. I'm not talking about participating in all their sins. I'm not talking about that. But just establish a rapport. Build a relationship. Build some bridges. And why do you do that? Because they don't care what you know until they know that you care. Do you care? Do you care about the lost? Do you care about your coworkers? Do you care about your neighbors? Do you care about the people on the other side of the pump? Do you care? Number three, use the home field advantage. Invite them to your turf. Right? Bring them to your house. The Bible says a lot about hospitality. A whole lot about hospitality. Have them over. Open the doors of your house. Have them over. You'll be amazed what happens when you open the doors of your house and it opens the doors of their heart. Invite them along. Going to go do something with another Christian buddy? Go invite them along. It's amazing. Introduce them. Build some more bridges. Get the gospel out. Might be the easiest, simplest, most comfortable thing. You just remain with those you know, right? But how about if you broaden your horizons and invite some more people into your life and build a relationship, building those bridges, and then share the gospel with them? May have an effect. You invite some people over to your house that you don't know, it might affect the climate in your house for the night, right? But it could affect their climate for all eternity. Number four, help when they hurt. Help when they hurt. That's what Jesus did. Jesus helped them when they hurt. When they get bad news of an illness, lose a loved one, have the setback, make sure, be a good neighbor. Help them out. Help a coworker, help a friend, help a family member. How about you go to the hospital? I had one preacher one time years ago say, "I don't do hospital visits." Really? Why not? I tried to do them even during COVID. They won't let me in. It's nice you can get back in now. You need to do those things. Funeral home. Somebody lost a loved one. How about take some cookies over? How about send a card? There's all kinds of things we can do to build some bridges, especially when people are hurting. God uses hurts sometimes to open people's hearts to the gospel. Marital problems are rampant these days, and God can use us to help them, bring them to salvation. Because that's what they need. And then five, use the church's tools. We have tools. Realize that we have tools that are at your disposal to help you witness. We have some things. Church tracts, as I mentioned, right? We have church tracts. They're readily available, free. Church pays for them. They're free for you to use. John and Romans, free. We know that's my favorite price. Free. They're free. Give them out. If we use them all up, we'll make more. In fact, Brother Petracco was just here. He said, "Do you need more of those? We can make more for you." I don't remember how many we ordered last time, 10,000 or something. I mean, there's a ton of them. There's case after case after case of them. Give them out. Give these out. We're going to be, after the railing's up and all, I'm going to get new pictures and we're going to have more of these ordered. We're running low on them right now because I don't want to order them with this picture because it doesn't look like the building anymore now that we have a new front. And then, if that doesn't work, we have made up ones. with a nice little hole in them, you can go and put them door to door. Isn't it amazing? You wouldn't even have to talk to anyone. You just put them on the doors. I'm not promoting that. But it is an option to get the gospel out. These are already made up, ready to go. Tons of them. And even though we don't have a lot of loose ones of these, they do have lots of these already made up. All kinds of opportunities. I have Bibles. I buy Bibles. They're gift and award Bibles. They're not expensive Bibles, but I buy them because I'd rather have somebody have something than nothing. You know somebody who doesn't have one, let me know. I'll give them to them. I don't want anything for them. I just give them out. I buy them and then I give them out. Why? Because it's better they have something than nothing. And if they really get serious, then we'll talk about getting them something that's going to last. Gift and award Bibles are not meant to last for a long time. But at least it gives them the gospel. It's not going to be a nice, high-quality, leather-bound Bible and all, but it's going to be a Bible. It's going to be a King James version of the Bible that we can give out. If you know somebody that needs one, let me know. I've got some in my office, ready to go. We need to give those out, free of charge. We don't charge them for them, we just give them to them. Website, online with our sermons. They're audio. They're not visual. We're not that high-tech here. But they're audio. You can listen to them online. Pull up the website, ibcspokanevalley.org. It's really easy. Pull up the website, go to sermons, and they're all in there. You can scroll down to whichever ones you want, page to the next ones, and I don't know how many are on there, but there's a bunch. The only ones that don't show up is if we don't have anybody to record them, then those ones don't get recorded, but the rest of them do, and they go on there every time we have that opportunity. Special events. We have a special event coming up the end of June, 26th through the 30th. I mentioned Brother Sommerdorf will be here with his dear wife. They're going to be here Sunday through Thursday. Invite your friends, relatives, co-workers, whoever you want. Have them come. We'll have a good time. By the way, we'll have a potluck during the Sommerdorf Sunday the 26th while they're here. We'll have a good time that afternoon. So missions conference comes up in April. This next year, this is going to be a heads up for you. Next year, it'll be the last week of April. Be easier to have more help during the week when we have people that are not occupied with other things that they have to do the beginning of the month. So it's going to be nice. So plan on that. We have a Christmas banquet every year. Invite people to that. We have a good time. Potluck every fifth Sunday of the month. Every time there's a fifth Sunday of the month, we have a potluck. We have other ones too, but that's a given, so you just know. So people are going to go home and they're going to pull out the calendar and say, I can't invite anybody till here. No, invite them anyway. But a potluck's a good time. People like to eat. Invite them. I remember years ago, I was at a church that they did a Friends Day. Everybody was told to go invite all your friends. And then the church paid for all the hamburgers and hot dogs that anybody could eat. And they had a Friends Day. And they fed everybody. And people would come. And they asked some of them, why did you show up? Didn't show up to listen to you preach. I came to eat. Well, at least they're honest, right? But in the process, they got the gospel. It's just, you know, so tell people, you know. And when the weather's good like this, we have barbecue. Who doesn't like barbecue? Tell them to come. Invite them. Say, we'll feed you. You got to sit and listen to the message, but we'll feed you. So invite people for these things. Take the initiative. Build some bridges. Use that home field advantage. Help people when they're hurting. Use the tools from the church. We've got several tools. Use them. You know, these don't do any good sitting in a room in a box. If they get out, they'll do some good. So we need to get this stuff out. Get it going. But to use all these tools, what does it require? Speaking. And as you're going, take your stand. As we go, take your stand and don't straddle the fence. Don't be wishy-washy. Finish the job. Close the deal, as they say. Open your mouth and speak. It's not that difficult. Some people can talk about everything under the sun until it comes to the Word of God. Let's share the Word of God. It's the most important thing. Let's share God's Word. Let's get it out. Let's let people know how excited we are to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let's not keep that bottled up. But let's go, stand, and speak. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it is to us, that we need to go, we need to stand, and we need to speak. Father, this lost and dying world that we live amongst, Father, there's people in our lives, whether they be relatives or co-workers or neighbors or whatever, that are lost and dying and on their way to hell. Father, but we have what we call the lifeline. We have the answer to what they need. And we just need to go, stand, and speak. So I pray, Father, that we would be emboldened to take the gospel message, to use the tools that we have available to us to go and share the gospel message with others. I pray, Father, that as we do our part, then you will do your part, because only you can save them. And we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray, Father, this morning, if there's someone in our midst that has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray today would be that day. I pray, Father, for those of us who do know Christ, that we profess Christianity. I pray, Father, that we would go, stand, and speak, and not be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power, your power, of salvation. So we thank you for what you're going to do during this invitation, and will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You stand with me if you're able. Heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano plays this morning. If you need to come, you come. As God gives us this time to do business with Him as He's done business with us.